I'm Scott Paul, and this is the Manufacturing Report.
If anything, people are recognizing the importance of manufacturing in Ohio more than ever. Not that it has ever been unimportant, it's been incredibly important, but it hasn't been as visible. This, the coming together of the Alliance, all the things that manufacturers are doing are reminding people that we've built stuff here.
All around America, manufacturers are racing to provide the medical equipment our nation so desperately needs. However, in the process, they're also uncovering new strengths and building valuable networks. Today, we look at one case study for these manufacturing partnerships. In Ohio, when Governor Mike DeWine called upon his state's manufacturers for their help in combating shortages of personal protective equipment, nearly 2,000 Ohio manufacturers answered his call. Together, they formed the Ohio Manufacturing Alliance to fight COVID-19 and established a complex supply chain virtually overnight. Next on the Manufacturing Report, my conversation with two members of the Manufacturing Alliance, Ethan Karp, who is the president and CEO of Magnet, and Rob Brundrett, who is the Public Policy Service Director for the Ohio Manufacturers Alliance. Ethan and Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Great. So Ethan, let me turn to you first. What should our listeners know about Magnet?
Well, Magnet's been around about 35 years. And our day jobs, what we do is go out to small and medium manufacturers, help them grow. Hands-on, roll up our sleeves, everything from creating new products to doing operational excellence work to employee engagement and sales and marketing. We work with startups sometimes where we help them if they have a physical product and innovation. We also help in workforce, trying to connect all the dots and create systems where people can see manufacturing as that long-term career. We do this all for Northeast Ohio under the umbrella of the national and state Manufacturing Extension Partnership Program, that's MEP. And we've been doing this for a long time, and you'll hear in a few moments how the last couple weeks and the last couple months, because of COVID, we've helped industry start pivoting and finding that PPE. But normally, we're inside manufacturers trying to help them grow and add jobs to the economy.
And you all do a great job there, Ethan. Rob, how about you, the Ohio Manufacturing Association?
Yeah, thanks. So the Ohio Manufacturers Association is about a 110-year-old trade association. We have about 1,300 members, manufacturers across the state of Ohio, and this is a wide-ranging through every industry, manufacturing industry. We have very, very small mom-and-pop manufacturers, and some of the largest companies in the world belong to our organization. Our mission is to protect and grow manufacturing in Ohio, and our core mission is mainly on advocacy and advocacy services on state-level issues to ensure that Ohio has a very, very competitive climate to continue to grow manufacturing in the state. But then we also do a lot of other things. We're very heavily involved in workforce development. We work with a lot of different organizations across the state, much like Ethan's organization, to make sure that manufacturers are getting the best services they can in the state of Ohio.
Rob, thanks so much. And I think it's worth pointing out to our listeners that if you look at a heat map of American manufacturing, there would be a big red glow coming from Ohio. So the reason why we're talking today is obviously the response that manufacturers have had to COVID-19 and to this pandemic, and the creation of something that I think is remarkable and will save lives, the Ohio Manufacturing Alliance, to fight COVID-19. Ethan, what was the inspiration for this? Who helped to kickstart this idea?
It really came together very, very quickly. And it is the best example I've ever seen. And I'm in economic development, so I see a lot of collaboration. The best example I've ever seen of true partnership and collaboration with real outcomes. And it started very simply in two ways. One, members of Ohio Manufacturers Association looking for ways to help, and us at Magnet talking to some of the hospitals who had products that they needed and wondering whether locally in Cleveland, places like University Hospitals in Cleveland and Cleveland Clinic, if we could help them find alternative sources because their international sources, their typical sources, had dried up. Over a two-day period, basically, Ohio Manufacturers Association Magnet realized this is something that we could pull together at a state level. And with the governor coming in and basically helping catalyze pulling together the hospital association, other organizations like Jobs Ohio, the nursing homes groups. We had a coalition then of all of the pieces and parts to, at a statewide level, find what the needs of PPE were, find what manufacturers thought they had good ideas of how to produce alternatives, and then in two ways. One, help manufacturers think about what it is that they could do, and two, try and figure out new products that could be alternatives and find manufacturers that could make them. Two paths we've been off for the last 6 weeks trying to find alternatives that hopefully will save lives of not just hospital workers, but anybody at the front line, so that manufacturers can truly show what they are capable of doing in Ohio to make a difference, to pivot, to react, and truly step up in this time of need.
Thanks, Ethan. So it sounds like a lot of the success of this was borne out by the fact that this was a true partnership between the public and private sectors, between folks who had design and production capabilities, looking at the market needs, talking with the healthcare providers, and having some alignment on that. I know Governor DeWine announced the formation of the alliance on April the 1st. And so, Rob, I wanted to turn to you for a second. What was the first way in which, I guess, this alliance was actualized? How did you kick this off in a real way on the factory floor?
Well, I think to answer the first part of that question, Governor DeWine made the announcement. We'd been working with the governor and his team really since the beginning of the pandemic. And Ethan points out how quickly this all came together. My boss, Eric Berkman, the president of the OMA, and Ethan were on countless phone calls with individuals in the governor's office to make sure that this could get set up and work in a true public-private partnership. And just to say, you know, I can't applaud Ohio manufacturers enough on answering the call. You mentioned the governor announced this on April 1st, and within 24 hours, we had received something like 1,200 touches from Ohio manufacturers wanting to help. And once you get that kind of outpouring of support from your membership and from the companies across the state of Ohio, I mean, you really have an opportunity to do something amazing. And the Magnet team, I can't say enough great things about the way they were able to vet through the services that were offered to put together the supply chain needed to produce those 1 million face masks almost immediately. And these are things that take weeks and sometimes months to put together. And that group was able to put together with their technical expertise and with the outpouring of support from manufacturers to get this put together in days. It was really incredible. I know Ethan and I are here doing the interview, but I wanted to make sure I just give enough props to Jobs Ohio and the Hospital Association, which was sort of the other two big portions of the alliance, helping us aggregate what's needed. And Jobs Ohio as the sort of the state's economic development arm, helping us through the way, whether it's, you know, finding the right manufacturer or finding money or whatever it is.
And I read recently that the number of participating Ohio manufacturers is up close to 2,000 now. So, Rob, I tip my hat to you guys. And also for all of these manufacturers, I know that I visited them in every single part of the state, how nimble and flexible they have been. Because I have to imagine, while there is some medical-related manufacturing in Ohio, Ethan, that for most of these folks, this was a pivot from the types of production they normally participate in. Obviously, they have the workforce, they have the tools available, and they'll be provided with the designs. But not a whole lot of these folks were probably making medical-related equipment going into this. Is that correct?
Very true. Very true. Now, to say they're making medical equipment now, it might be an overstatement. They're making protective equipment that's being used, but by and large, it was large quantities of gowns. And now that things are being reopened, large quantities of, well, maybe reopened in a few weeks anyway, large quantities of cotton face mask people are looking at, so that when they go to the grocery store. And in the hospitals and the first responders, it's the face shields that many manufacturers have pivoted to make. But those things were not on their radar before this. Some of them just independently created their own versions using public domain design. Some made their own. You just saw all of this rapid fire innovation going on. Some of them donated it. Some of them were looking to get their costs back, but all of them wanted to make a difference for the hospital down the street, the police station down the street, that was saying, we don't have anything to protect us. the amount of coordination between them, when we said, well, we want a million and we want a design that at least the clinicians like and it can be sterilized. The amount of coordination to say this started with 19, I think we're up to 25 or 30 different companies involved in the supply chain to make this because we wanted so many so fast. And these were largely smaller companies with the exception of a couple. And even in that mix, when you create the injection mold, which is the only way we're going to make the headpiece, a company who is already fast-tracking a normal six-week lead time to make a tool down to a week and a half, they only had the capacity to make one tool. And that tool largely lined up with one other company's injection mold. So there might be companies that could do a lot more, but the speed of which we had to do it meant we had to do a whole bunch of this in parallel. And then you had companies like Little Tykes. Little Tykes doesn't make medical. None of these companies really made medical, but pretty far away when you're going from plastic toys to these face shields. Well, Little Tykes said, we'll take everything, we'll do the logistics, we'll make some of the injection molded parts. And they pivoted to make sure that this was available to the state of Ohio. That sort of pivoting into these new markets is awesome. I think some of it will stick around after COVID. I think that some of it has just had people now truly thinking differently about, well, if they can do this, what new markets can they enter profitably? Maybe not PPE, but what new markets in the post-COVID world might they be considering?
That's interesting. So one of the unanticipated outcomes of this might be that through this kind of partnership, this quick pivot, this innovation, that some companies may discover that they have markets they hadn't even thought about or imagined before inside and outside of medical. Rob, I wanted to ask you, because one of the challenges that I know a number of governors have said was obviously the availability of all of this, both the protective equipment, the testing equipment, the swabs, and the lengths to which they've had to go through to try to acquire all of this, either air shipments. There have been a lot of imports. There's been a lot of this improvised manufacturing, I guess, in the United States. Do you think that one of the lessons coming out of this is going to be that Americans and policymakers discover that there is, in fact, a very, very good both health and kind of national security reason to strengthen manufacturing in Ohio and throughout the country?
I think it was a very good lesson for a lot of individuals, companies included, to understand how vulnerable the current supply chains are, and not just for PPE or medical products. I think it was eye-opening for a lot of individuals to see how strained the supply chains got because of the pandemic. I think that's a real worry for a lot of people. And I think there's an opportunity there. I think people are starting to understand. I think governments, and I think not just Ohio, but others are seeing the opportunity to be able to strengthen the supply chain back here, especially in places like Ohio, where we're already the third largest manufacturer in the country, where we have the infrastructure, we have the know-how, we've made the investment in the workforce, and maybe start seeing some of that supply chain popping up more and more in Ohio and other places. And I'm not just talking about medical and PPE, but just look at all the supply chains that have been strained over this time period, whether it's the autos or appliances or whatever have you. It's been eye-opening for a lot of people. And I think we're going to start seeing some real discussion, not just at the government level, but also at the individual company level about how can we make sure that we're never this vulnerable again to something like a pandemic.
Rob, I couldn't agree with you more. I think of an Ohio example. Cleveland-Cliffs, you know, which recently acquired AK Steel. AK Steel is one of the last makers of grain-oriented electrical steel in the country, which you need to build transformers. And one of the messages we've always carried forward is if there was an attack on the electrical grid, a cyber attack or something like that, that you'd need to get transformers back online. You'd have to rebuild a lot of them. And we have exactly one place in America that makes that grain-oriented electrical steel right now. And a lot of folks, unfortunately, take that for granted. And so my hope is, exactly as you express, that there is a reevaluation both among the public and the policymakers of policies that help to shift a lot of this overseas, and that we can work together to try to bring it back. Ethan, I wanted to ask you, while I think this alliance is a great example of both, I think, trust and public-private partnership and just this amazing can-do attitude that both small and large manufacturers have, I have to also imagine that all of these manufacturers are also dealing with the consequences of the pandemic and how to keep their own workers safe and what's happened to a lot of markets, which of course have collapsed for many products. They've surged for other kind of household staples and what have you. But I'm wondering, in your neck of the woods in Northeast Ohio, what the attitude, what the mood has been like among your members.
You have some opposites going on, as you highlighted. On the one hand, you mentioned testing. The governor just announced a few moments ago that there's a local company that innovated some 3D swabs and a dental lab manufacturer that's going to manufacture them. That's the positive end of this. People pivoting, people in the grocery supply chain, people in the medical supply chains that are actually doing quite well trying to figure out how to manage this. On the other hand, you have companies who haven't yet quite realized the impact of, say, for example, our big auto companies being shut down for so long. And I think that they're all uncertain about it. I think that they are hoping for the best, preparing for the worst, but there's a huge amount of uncertainty out there. It begins with uncertainty around just how do you keep safe in your plants? And mind you, we have a lot of essential businesses here, so there are a lot of plants still running. And they've already had to grapple with how do we make sure COVID doesn't enter a plant? And that's only going to ratchet up in the future as we're not all still at home and they're interacting with more people and there's more chance of the spread occurring. So that uncertainty is also a very scary prospect on top of just truly not understanding where the customer demand is going to be in a couple weeks. All of that is playing into a mix of some folks doing all right, some folks not doing all right, and a lot of people waiting to see what happens.
I hear you there, Ethan. And before we go, Rob, I just wanted to ask you, as I look out and survey the 50 states and see what's happening, one of the models for a response, I think, that is cited by a lot of folks is Governor DeWine's response in Ohio. And I think this alliance is a perfect example of that. But for our national listeners out there, what are some of the lessons that you think Ohio has learned or the kind of leadership that Governor DeWine and others have provided that other states can look at as they respond to this evolving crisis and the needs that it presents?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things that Ohio was able to do to kind of get out in front on this, and it was a very collaborative process between the governor and the business community, and especially manufacturing. We all kind of understood where the governor had to go with the stay-at-home order and the shutdown, but they have been very open and very transparent, at least with our organization and others in the business community, to understand, okay, what do we need to do so that we can still have the maximum amount of companies operate, but operate safely so as we're not putting employees in jeopardy. And we've seen some really incredible things done by companies who've gone above and beyond to ensure the safety of their employees while at the same time producing the goods and keeping the logistics open that can keep day-to-day life sustained. You know, just getting food on your table and making sure that if something happens in your house, you can get something fixed so you're not suffering that way. So I think the governor has done a great job on bringing some collaboration around, and I know that they are working hard on figuring out the safest way to reopen the state of Ohio, and they've been fairly open with that as well, trying to get as much information as possible. And so hopefully we can start seeing a phased-in, safe reopening of the state in the next week or so, starting in the week of May 4th. So I think the lesson to be learned is that the governor has a very tough job on deciding to shut down a state or not, and they understand the economic impacts. And the governor and Lieutenant Governor John Husted here have been very open and very transparent with the business community as a whole, and I think that goes a long way. If you can have those open lines of communications, you can help determine the best route to reopen the state and the best route to safely keep people working so the state doesn't have a worse economic downturn than what we're seeing right now. So I think overall, manufacturing has done a great job of staying open and keeping things safe while at the same time working with the governor to ensure that everybody else, including the rest of the manufacturing shutdown, can reopen on time.
Thanks, Rob. Ethan, any lessons that we can take out of this?
I would add my learnings are twofold. One, markets are everything. We realized that as people were making this PPE, they were not in the markets for selling to hospitals or first responders of any sort. And so there quickly became a breakdown of how do I get this out to them? So we created this Ohio Emergency PPE Makers Exchange, sort of more like Craigslist than eBay, but it's an online platform that only Ohio manufacturers can sign up to put their retooled, repurposed projects on. And then businesses, whomever, can go there and actually connect with that seller and get those supplies for themselves, particularly suited for lower quantity buys than a million face shields. So that was one, is that, you know, market dynamics are governing a lot of this stuff. A lot of the things are supply chain shortages that we're trying to find alternatives for because a lot of the stuff is overseas and we can't get it reliably right now. So then the second point is one around pride. If anything, people are recognizing the importance of manufacturing in Ohio more than ever. Not that it has ever been unimportant. It's been incredibly important, but it hasn't been as visible. This, the coming together of the alliance, all the things that manufacturers are doing are reminding people that we built stuff here and that building stuff here makes a difference and that we really need to celebrate that. And I really hope countrywide coming out of this, there is a renewed sense of pride of what we do build here. Made in America really does mean something that people are willing to pay for. I really hope that that pride is present. The last thing I'll add is your comment on bringing stuff and making it locally, I think is spot on, with the caveat that we're only going to do that by employing and deploying the highest end technology available. Industry 4.0 and collaborative robots and all of those things have to be deployed because we have to make it cost competitively. Made in Ohio, made in America only goes so far. We need to make cost competitive products. And I think with the technology, if we make the right investments, we absolutely can.
So Ethan, Rob, I wanted to thank you so much for your time today. I want to thank the members of Magnet and the Ohio Manufacturers Association for their contributions to the Ohio Manufacturing Alliance to fight COVID-19, and wish you the best in the weeks and months to come here, and hope you both are able to stay healthy and safe. Thanks for your time and joining us on the Manufacturing Report.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And that will do it for the Manufacturing Report this week. To learn more about the Ohio Manufacturing Alliance to fight COVID-19, you can visit repurposingproject.com. As always, I want to thank AAM staff for their work to make this episode possible, and for you, the listeners, for engaging with us and for giving us great episode ideas. Be sure to subscribe to the Manufacturing Report on Spotify or wherever you find your podcasts, and let us know what you think by leaving a review and a rating. You can find us online at AmericanManufacturing.org. You can follow us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can connect with us on Twitter at KeepItMadeInUSA. I'm Scott Paul, and until next time, together, we can keep it made in America.